Good afternoon. Warm greetings to one and all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 2 weeks ago, when we touched on the previous few verses, verse 7 to verse 11, we mentioned the distinction between talent and spiritual gift. Sometimes they might appear the same, but we must not confuse ourselves, but they are very different. Talents are given to everyone without distinction, whether you are a believer or an unbeliever. Whereas spiritual gifts are given only to believers. Now imagine a world where there are no talents. What would the world be? No one has the ability to compose any music or play any musical instruments. No one has the ability to doctor, to treat anyone who is sick, to build any buildings, to design any buildings. None of these things that we all enjoy in our first world country. No one has the ability to drive or to invent cars or motorcycles or any such things like trains or ships or airplanes. What would the world be like? Whether it is a year old or 1,000 years old. It makes no difference. If it is a world without talents, then probably all of us would be simply maybe even plain farmers. Even to be a farmer, you need talent. You have to have green thumb to be able to grow. Imagine we don't have anything. You realize that this world will never be developed. All the resources that the Lord has placed inside this earth will remain buried, and the world will be completely different. Only trees, bushes, grass, mountains, things of nature. We don't even have the skill of a carpenter to turn trees into furniture. None of these things. We can't write. We can't read. Maybe we have the ability to speak, and that's about it, perhaps. Even that is in itself a talent. Some can speak very well, some not so well. We can't imagine such a world, isn't it? But we thank God that God has given to humanity many types of talents. And humanity has used them to develop this world to what it is today, so that our lives can function more efficiently, and definitely more comfortably. What about in the spiritual realm? In the spiritual realm, the Lord has also given to us spiritual gifts, not without a purpose, just like the talents. They all have a purpose. The sad part is some of us are very talented, but we do not use our talents, and therefore your talent is wasted as far as the world is concerned. Imagine if you are a brilliant doctor who is able to find a cure for this COVID-19. And because of your laziness, because of your foolishness, you don't want to use your talent and you just simply sleep your time away. You know how great a waste that talent would be as far as the world is concerned? They measure in terms of dollars and cents. In the spiritual realm, it will be many times worse. Because in the spiritual realm, we are immediately thrust into the realm of eternity. If the world is a world of without talents, it would just simply be a very slow world, not as beautiful as what we see today with all the man-made structures. But all things will be measured in terms of time, temporal. But in the spiritual realm, it's heaven or hell. And that is why the purpose of spiritual gifts is of greater significance than the purpose of the talents that we see all around us in our world. Now, when you look at verse 11, you realize that God did not list out all the spiritual gifts. We touch on that. This list, of course, is not exhaustive. And so when we think of the purpose of spiritual gifts, please do not limit this to only these five spiritual gifts mentioned in verse 11. Now, we touch on that that the common denominator in all these five spiritual gifts is the Word of God. You notice this? The Word of God is the key. But there are many other spiritual gifts that are not directly related to the Word of God per se, such as hospitality, such as administration, the ability to give of your tithe and offering. Are these gifts that are not mentioned here but mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 12? Do they also possess the same purpose that we are going to look at from verse 12 to verse 16? And the answer is a resounding yes. The difference is that the spiritual gifts mentioned here in Ephesians 4 verse 11, they are directly related to the Word of God, whereas the others do not. Just because they are not directly related to the Word of God, they might be related to administration, how the church can function and be better organized so that when people come for worship, for service, for any church business, it will not be in disarray. It will be ordered, organized in a very decent and orderly manner. That's a gift. Some people have the love of people. When you speak to them, when you talk to them, when you go to their homes, they make you feel so warm and so at home. That's a gift. Gift of hospitality. But when you summarize all of them together, whether it is directly involved in the Word of God or not, they all will accomplish the same purpose that we are going to look at this afternoon. Those who are directly related to the Word of God, it will help us in our direct relationship with God Himself. The other spiritual gifts, like hospitality and fellowship and others, they also help us as believers in our relationship with one another and with the world at large. In other words, we need all spiritual gifts. And what 1 Corinthians 12 taught us concerning spiritual gifts is that God is the one who decides and determines who gets what gift. And every single gift, some that are more in the limelight, some that are more in the background, they are all of equal importance. You cannot say one part is more important than another part, just like the different parts of a body. So please bear this in mind when you look at the purpose. You may not have the gift, the spiritual gift that are mentioned in verse 11. You might think that, well, my purpose of having, they say, the spiritual gift of playing the piano, the music, or hospitality, well, the purpose will be different. No, the purpose is the same. As you can see from verse 12, the first purpose listed here is for the believer specifically. For the believer, how your life ought to impact the lives of others. So it's for just like the talent, right? God gave you the ability to play the piano very well, to become a very good engineer, a doctor. Whatever it is, first it is yourself. And so we see that for the perfection of the saints, for the perfecting of the saints, I mean, all right? It is to furnish us, to equip us, so that we will not just simply be saved, and you have this desire, zeal, and fervency to serve and to do the things of God, but you are not skilled. You don't have the ability to do so. So God says, I'm going to furnish you. I'm going to equip you. I'm going to prepare you. I'm going to make sure that you have a skill, a spiritual skill, a skill that will help and impact the spiritual realm which you never had before. But now every child of God will be given one. Don't forget, at least one. Otherwise, your life and your service will be wasted. Because then you are of no use to the Lord. If you are not equipped by God with a particular spiritual gift, whereby it will help you, complete you, so that you will not be a babe in Christ for the rest of your time of service here on earth. You and I know that a babe in Christ is basically useless. Just like a 1-year-old, 2-year-old, even a 3- or 4-year-old toddler. They are of very, very little or zero usage to the economy, to the world. They just eat, they sleep, and they throw tantrums once in a while, and that's about it. What contribution Can a 1, 2, even 4-year-old child contribute to your home, to your society, other than to make you happy? Nothing. You should not remain as a babe in Christ. Because if you remain as a babe in Christ from the day of your salvation, then you are basically like a 1 to 4-year-old toddler that is of zero impact, zero use to the society. In fact, children by nature are protected by law that you cannot make children work in an adult world. You can be charged in court. It is a criminal offense. In the spiritual realm, you'll find that how are you going to fight the devil if you are a baby? How are you going to fight in a battle when you are only 4 years old? And that's why God says, it is for the believer that I have given spiritual gifts. That you will grow and you will mature for the perfecting of the saints. That you will become someone that is useful to the Lord and to the work of the Lord and the lives of the people that God will send into your life. The purpose, first and foremost, is for the believer. Because if you are not properly equipped, you cannot do the work of the ministry. It's all linked. Like we mentioned earlier, a 4-year-old child cannot be put in front of a classroom and start to teach. They can't even walk properly, they can't even speak properly or spell properly. Likewise in the spiritual realm. That's what the Bible warns us. Never, never put a novice into a position of leadership in the church. That would be a recipe for disaster, because the pride of life will set in, even though that person may be born again, very, very well endowed with the wisdom of the world, especially if that person came to know Christ at the age of 40 or 50, and he has already made for himself a name, and he may be very influential in the things of the world. He may even be a very, very rich person with a lot of financial strength and power now in the church. You cannot put him into any position of leadership, not even at the lowest level, because he is just a babe in Christ. He may be a grown man, but as far as the spiritual side of him is concerned, he's just a baby. You put him into the spiritual realm, he doesn't even know how to pray properly. He doesn't even know how to lean upon God properly. And then you put him in the position where he has to make important decisions for the service and for the ministry and for the well-being of God's people in the church. He will become an easy prey to the devil. And the devil will use him to stumble God's people and to ruin the church and the ministry. And that is why the Lord says, you have to grow and mature so that you can be well endowed with sufficient wisdom for the work of the ministry. That's what we are here to do. The work of the ministry primarily involves what we do in the church. The work of the ministry, of course, must also include a little bit in preparing people on how to evangelize when they go out into the world. But when you think of the work of the ministry as a whole, the bulk of it, and a large portion, a percentage of it, will be within the church to build up the faith of the brothers and sisters in Christ, because a healthy church is made up of babes in Christ and old men and women in Christ, which the Bible describes them as elders. A wide spectrum, and it does not happen overnight. It takes time, a lot of time. And we are not just simply talking about people with no hair or white hair or grey hair or hoary head. We are talking about real, genuine, mature believer, where not only do they have a good knowledge of the Word of God, but they know how to apply the Word of God to the right time and the right circumstance and toward the right people. Wisdom. That's the work of the ministry. In the church, primarily the bulk of it, so that the church will be strong, stable. The church is supposed to be the headquarters, HQ, where you send forth your missionaries and then they come back. And you send your congregation out into the world Monday to Saturday and then they come back. And that is why the church has designed also midweek gatherings. Because the church realized through hundreds of years of existence that if we only gather once a week, it is not enough. Not enough to stabilize and to strengthen especially those who are young in the faith, where they only come together on Sunday for worship and for prayer and for the study of God's Word. And Monday to Saturday, they hardly have any Christian activities or communication or fellowship or contact. And that's why we have introduced the midweek prayer meeting. That's why we also have the midweek Bible studies and whatever availability that people are interested in coming together to study God's Word and for fellowship, we will, as a church, try to encourage them and help them. That's the work of the ministry. And it requires people who are mature, because if you are not mature, you are not stable, you cannot become a victim, a casualty. You know how hard it is to counsel a counselor who has become a victim? It is a nightmare to help someone who has now become a casualty because that person is not mature enough to go to war, spiritual battle. And now he is injured. He begins to doubt his own faith, doubt his own salvation. He becomes so disheartened and discouraged that he doesn't want to serve anymore. And therefore the Lord will little by little help us to mature and help us to grow and to stabilize our faith. So that when you encounter huge, big problems, your faith at that level will be strong enough, mature enough to face them and not be overwhelmed by them. That is why these first two purposes, or same purpose, okay, for the believer, it takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. You cannot just simply jump in and start the work of the ministry. It takes time. That's why it is for the perfecting of the saints first, that once you become mature enough and you look at Romans chapter 12, which is the beginning of the practical application of what it means to be a believer, you realize that the first few verses basically focus on the Christian himself so that he will become more mature in the faith before he begins to serve and to help others. He has to be very stable and mature in his own faith. Because whenever you want to help someone, whenever you want to thrust yourself into the ministry, immediately you enter into the front line and the devil will target you first. Not just you, but you and your loved ones. He will target. The devil has no rules and regulation. There is no guidelines. He will hit you below the belt. He will lie. He will deceive. He will cheat. He will steal. He will do whatever it takes to bring you down. And all this while, you have to maintain your godly, Christ-like demeanor, and you have the Bible as your rule book. The devil has no rule book. And you cannot go down to his level and throw away the Bible. You have to follow the Bible, even though he doesn't care. And that takes a mature believer, so that he can be well, mature enough to do the work of the ministry. Then he can begin to help build up the body of Christ, for the edifying of the body of Christ. The word edify is literally to build up. You see some of these buildings where they use a lot of bricks. A lot. You can't even number them or count them unless you are the builder himself. He will probably know how many bricks were used. But when you look at all these buildings that are primarily made of bricks, when you stand back, when you look at it, do you ever wonder and imagine the kind of patience, the laborious nature of building those brick walls? And they are straight upright, perpendicular. And you look at the nature of the brick. They are so evenly placed. And they are all so very, very much aligned. Row by row. Vertically, horizontally, row by row, near perfection. Perpendicular. You know how hard it is to do that? Do you imagine how much time it must have required these expert bricklayer? Has to be expert. You think laying bricks is so easy? You try to lay tiles on your own bathroom toilet. It's not that big. If you're living in an HDB flat, I'm not talking about those mansions where you have huge toilets. Just a simple HDB toilet. And we're talking about tiles, big pieces of tile, and they're only very flat. You just lay butter on a piece of bread, and you just lay the cement onto the tile at the bottom. And then you just put it on. You know how hard it is to make it flat and all of them of the same plane? You're going to knock, the bigger it is, the harder it is. It's so heavy. And then you put it down, how do I know whether this particular tile, the amount of cement I lay, will be the same as the one that is going to be after it or before that? And they have to be more or less even, so that they will all be on the same plane. You don't want to walk where one is lower, one is higher. You're going to trip, you're going to fall, you're going to hurt yourself, because you're going to be barefooted in the toilet. And then on top of that, you have the vertical one. You know how it is to lay it vertically and where it is all straight and all on the same plane? You cannot just simply do it. It takes skill, practice. A lot of work. Same with the building up of the body of Christ. It takes years. You think you just need to come in and then you serve for a year and the whole ministry will just simply shroom, grow. It takes years. Brick by brick, brick by brick, brick by brick. And then as you begin to build, you become more and more skillful, more and more skillful, and it will take perhaps even your lifetime before a person becomes a mature believer. And there will be a lot of heartaches, because you may want them to grow just like every parent would want their children to become good, mature citizen of a country. For us as a Christian, good, mature children of God. That's what we want. And you and I know that that's not what we get all the time, because our children will resist us. Some of them may not like you. Some of them may not want your methodology. They will resist. And it can be heartbreaking when they stray away. When they do the opposite of what you wanted them to do, to point them in the direction, hoping that after 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, they will become like this. Well educated, mature, that's in the world's context. But they are rebellious, they are lazy, they don't want to study. And then 5, 10, 15 years later, they are a disappointment. And then what about all your labor of 5, 10, 15 years of sweat and tears and devotion? There are many, many factors at play when you want to build up the body of Christ. You may have all the skill and the desires, but doesn't mean that the people out there in the congregation will just simply lap it in and love you and embrace you and say, "Thank you very much." It's not so simple and straightforward, as you can also witness in the ministry of Moses. You can see this even in the ministry of the Lord Himself. The many multitudes who followed Him, many of them for the wrong reason. And that is the end of it. What did they do after they have tasted His miracles, ate His miraculous bread? Do you think the 5,000 and the 4,000 who followed the Lord Jesus Christ, they were not there when they shouted, "Crucify Him"? He did a lot of miracles in Galilee. He did a lot of miracles also in the city, the Lord's city, inside, outside. You think these people just simply loved the Lord? He was a perfect preacher, perfect teacher, perfect witness, perfect in every way. And yet you see all the resistance. And that is why the Lord says you have to be well perfected and mature before you can do the work of the ministry, so that the body of Christ can be built up. That's why the purpose of the spiritual gift is first and foremost for the believer himself first. You prepare yourself. Go to FEBC and study the Word of God and equip yourself. Then little by little, it takes a lot of time, hundreds if not thousands of hours. And even during the ministry period, when you are serving, you are also equipping and growing at the same time. You cannot say, "Well, I wait and wait." You cannot wait too long, and yet you cannot be too late, too early. You have to be at the right time before you serve. And maybe it is good to serve in a diminished capacity before you are thrust into the leadership position. But the purpose of the spiritual gifts, whether it is directly pertaining to the Word of God, or fellowship, or administration, they are for the equipping of the believer first and foremost, so that your life can impact the lives of other believers without becoming a casualty yourself. And you and I know, I'm sure you have experienced and you have seen even in Truth BP Church, people have become casualties. And that's why they left the church. And some of them even left Christianity completely. Some are even theologically trained. They are so disheartened and discouraged that they just give up Christ completely. You know how sad and how tragic when that happens? That these people in the early days, you and I would think that such people would have so much potential to become future leaders. And yet, presently, when you look at them, they are casualties. Christian fellowship, very important. Administration, very important. Just like the study of God's word, the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. All of us must do our part in order for the believer to be mature and be useful for the work of the ministry in order to edify, to build up the body of Christ. Not only here, but also in other churches as well. That's the first aspect of the purpose for the believer. Now the question is, how long have you been a believer? And how is the state of your maturity in Christ at this juncture of your life? Set aside all your paper qualification. Not interested. I met a lot of seminary professors with doctoral in their, on their name card in theology. When you look at the spiritual well-being, when you have a conversation with them, they are not spiritual at all. They might have all their head knowledge, but as far as their spirituality, as far as their spiritual maturity is concerned, they are not. And if they are truly born again, they may even remain as baby in Christ. What is the state and condition? And if you are mature enough, why are you not serving? Why are you not involved in the work of the ministry? And why is your life not edifying, building up the body of Christ, the people of God that are found in Truth BP Church? And if you are, you keep growing. You keep growing. Because the second aspect of this purpose given to us in verse 13 and verse 14 is frightening. Not only for the believer's well-being, but it is also for the battle of the faith. And this battle of the faith will involve the lives of men, women, and children. It's a spiritual battle. That's why there must be no child of God who has already been properly equipped, who is loitering and sleeping their time away, doing nothing. Just come to church and then just disappear. For whatever reason, it is not a biblical one. Whatever reason that you may have concocted for yourself to soothe your own conscience by just simply coming to church and disappear and not doing anything, you are in transgression because your life is wasted every moment of every day that you are not serving. We are all in the same battle against the same enemy, the enemy of God, the enemy of every Christian, the God of this world. And so the Bible tells us, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children. Okay? Why? Why must that be necessary? In the world out there, God gave us all the talents so that we can be mature men and women, start our own families, be responsible for our own children and our jobs and for our own actions to build up the society. That's why the government, the world is made in such a manner. Schooling, education, to contribute to society and not be just simply a taker but a giver. In the spiritual realm, far more significant and important. Because souls of men, women and children, when they die in sin, they end up in hell. And you can do something about that, but not when you remain as a babe in Christ. You have to do your utmost to mature and to grow. That's why you have to take concrete, proper prioritizing of your life and your events in your life. The study of God's Word, prayer, all these things are very, very important to help you mature. And it will take a lifetime. You don't stop growing because you'll never, never arrive to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Not in this lifetime. So in other words, you never stop. You never stop, even as you begin to serve, first in a diminished capacity, not in a leadership capacity, not yet. And then slowly, as you mature more and more, you enter into the leadership capacity. As you serve under other leaders who will help you grow and mature, then when you become a leader yourself, you will taste and you will know how to help others to mature and grow. But even as you are helping others, you will keep on maturing, keep on growing, become more and more like Christ until you arrive at the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, which will be until we receive the glorified body. That means you never stop learning and growing till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? These are the two aspects. Unity of the faith. That doesn't come by just simply wishing for it. Why is the church not united, you ask yourself? When a church is not united, we become easy target and easy prey for the devil. Okay, a church that is disunited is a useless church, and the devil laughs. The devil loves this kind of church because that is the way that he wants every church to be. Disunited. How do you unite a church? When a church, let's say, for a size of Truth BPC, how many people come? How many people in the membership? 100? Let's say 100. Let's say give it 200. You have 200 different minds. 200 people with different backgrounds. 200 people with different way of life, different perspective of what they want. And it is therefore a recipe for disunity. How do we have 200 different views on any issue whereby all of them will agree? It's impossible. So how to have a united church? How to make Truth BP Church united? A true kind of unity that is experiential and that is from the heart. When all 200 of them think like Christ. When all 200 of them desire to only promote Christ. Isn't that true? And therefore, if all 200 of them, or at least majority of them, let's say there may be a sprinkling of unbelievers pretending to be born-again believers, and then they infiltrated into the membership of Truth BP Church. Let's say 90% of them are truly born-again, and they all have the mind of Christ. And they don't have the mind of Christ filled with the knowledge of God overnight. They have been given and endowed with the mind of Christ immediately upon salvation. But that mind of Christ that enables them to understand the Bible is still filled with the knowledge of the world. It takes time for them to push out the knowledge of the world and replace them with the knowledge of God. And that takes the time to study God's Word. And in the meantime, while they study the Word of God, they have to turn their head knowledge into experiential knowledge. And that's where fellowship, that's where all the other aspects of the spiritual gifts will come into play. And that requires all of us working in tandem, in cooperation with one another, where every one of us wants to promote Christ. Imagine if everyone is a preacher, then the church would be like as it is right now, empty. Everybody preaching, nobody is going to listen. Just like if everybody in the church is in the choir. Right? Imagine that. Then who are you singing to? That's why every one of us must play our part. That's why the Bible tells us that we are all co-laborers with God. And then we are also at the same time the building of God. How come we are laborers and building at the same time? If we are the laborer, how can we be building? It's simple. This analogy given by God is perfect. When I'm serving and you are blessed by my service, then I, at this point in time, when I am serving, you are the building. You are being blessed. You are being built up. So I'm the laborer. Co-laborer with God. God is helping me to preach God's Word. And if you are blessed by the preaching and the study of God's Word, then you are the building being built up in the knowledge of the Word of God. But then when it is now your turn to serve in your area of ministry, let's say, playing the piano. So when you are serving playing the piano, I can't sing without the music because I don't have the gift. And so I need you to play the piano properly for me to sing hymns in praise of God, to lift up my heart and my spirit in worship. So when you are serving and when I am now singing the hymn, I'm now being built up. And so now when you are serving, you are the laborer, whereas a moment ago, you are the building. I'm the laborer. But now when we sing hymns, the pianist become the laborer, co-laboring with God, praying for God to help the pianist with the wisdom from God to play properly and correctly. And then now we are all blessed. So I am now the building being blessed by the person who's playing the piano. And so therefore, when I'm serving, I'm the laborer co-laboring with God. But when I'm being blessed by your service, I'm the building being built up. And that's how we become united. And when we are all desiring to promote only Christ, not self, straight away. You want to promote Christ, so do I. And so I'm going to do anything and everything within my power and responsibility to promote Christ. And you do the same, he does the same, everyone does the same. That's what unity is it not true? And that doesn't come without verse 12. You see that? For the purpose of the believer, when he matures, he becomes more and more like Christ. You become more and more like Christ, and then the unity will come together with the knowledge of the Son of God. They don't be divided or separated. You'll be filled with the knowledge of the Son of God, that is Christ. I am filled with the knowledge. You are filled with the knowledge. Experiential, not just hate. Experiential. And then we will all become perfected, matured, completed. Not only simply have faith, but a faith that is alive. A faith that is experiential, a faith that is real. And to the measure of the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Become more and more Christ-like, and that's where the unity comes, so that when we are faced with enemies, the enemies will try to tear this unity apart. The enemies will try his best to turn two very, very good brothers and sisters in Christ and make them mortal enemies. They will try to trip us and get us to stumble and fall into sin. And then when we fall into sin, we become very bitter and we refuse to forgive one another, the unity evaporates. Isn't that true? And we all know that we have seen it and we also have experienced it in our own homes and in our ministries. In committees, when people serve together and during some committee meetings, you lose your cool. You raise your voice. You criticize the other person's portfolio. You're supposed to be in charge of advertisement, announcing, doing up all the posters. What happened to you? Why didn't you do it on time? Why is it always late? These things like this are not helpful, and so the person is hurt, and you are very rough and brash. Or your motive may be right. You want the ministry to be very efficient. And so when the posters are late and people are not aware of the details early enough, so people do not have time to plan properly, and therefore they have other appointments, other plans on the day itself because of your late posters, your late announcement. And so you want the people to have advance notice. But because the person in charge of the poster is procrastinating and use your cool, and then the chairman doesn't take control of the meeting and he just simply let this kind of raised voices to continue, and feelings are hurt, what do you think will happen? The entire ministry will suffer. And if it is not dealt with soon enough, it will spread, and then the whole church will suffer, because we all have friends. And it all started with just simply a poster done on time. A poster not done on time. How could a poster not done on time destroy the unity of Truth BP Church? Just a poster not done on time. That's ridiculous, isn't it? Isn't it? But it's real. It's true. Of course, that poster not done on time is just an example. There may be other things just as innocuous. And yet, it can trigger something. But if that person has the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, he will speak differently. He will not raise his voice and put the other person down, even though the person may have procrastinated. And the person who has procrastinated with the poster, he would have the humility of Christ, because which is the mind of Christ, to say, I am so sorry. I apologize. Or the chairman himself, who is in charge of the meeting, will jump in and say, please stop. This is not the way to encourage one another. We are to provoke one another unto love and to good works. But right now, the way that things are done as leaders, we are provoking one another unto wrath and to bitterness and anger. This has to stop, please. I know you mean well. You want advance notice given to the people so that they can come. I know. But the way you did it is not right. Let us change. Let us show patience and love. Let us be more gentle. Let us use a soft answer approach that will take away wrath. And the other person, encourage. And straight away, what could have become a tool for the devil to use to destroy the church has now suddenly become a point that can build up and encourage brothers and sisters in Christ. Because it is a spiritual battle. The purpose of spiritual gift is for the believers to mature in faith, and it is also for the battle that never stops until the Lord returns. That we henceforth be no more children, you see, children in the spiritual sense, being tossed to and fro like a little ship without a rudder in a storm, tossed to and fro. The waves come in this direction, you go in this direction. The waves change direction, you change direction. You and I are not supposed to be like that. We have convictions given to us in the Bible. We are not to be tossed to and fro. We know exactly where we are heading. We know exactly where our foundation is. But when you are just simply a babe in Christ, you will be tossed to and fro very easily, carried about with every wind of doctrine, not just the wind, okay, of the ship, but the wind of doctrine. So the doctrines will be the dangerous winds that are blowing across Christianity. The wind of doctrines. You have tasted this because the pains of founding Truth BP Church was defending the perfect Bible, was it not? When that wind of doctrine blew across Calvary Jurong, you all have tasted that wind. How that pastor was affected. How the elders and the deacons in that church, they were affected. The wind, right? What happened? And then the congregation, the bulk of them, were also tossed to and fro because they don't have the foundation and the anchor. How could they believe that kind of doctrine? If someone from another religion, another faith, say that the Bible of the Christian has mistakes, that's understandable. But how could Christians, whose foundation of their entire existence and their faith is the Bible itself, why would they themselves say the Bible has mistakes? To me, that is ludicrous. That is stupidity to the utmost. It's like shooting your own foot. It's like buying a building and then you put dynamite and boom, and destroy your own foundation. You just bought this brand new building. Why are you destroying your own foundation? You paid up this building with your entire life savings, and then after you bought it, you destroy your own foundation and the whole building just collapses. And yet there are people who believe. Why? Because the people who believe, they do not have strong foundation. And if they are truly born again, they are just simply children of the faith. They don't have the maturity. They don't have the stability to see through all these strange winds of doctrines that are blowing across Christianity. I came from another church that is not Bible Presbyterian. And when the charismatics started to creep in, they started to introduce speaking in tongues. They started to introduce raising of hands in worship. And they started to replace the good old hymns with all the contemporary, repetitive, sentimental songs. The leaders were affected. If not for the Sunset Gospel Hour service and ministry, I'm sure I would be affected too. And so would Dr. Jeffrey Koo and Reverend Stephen Koo, because we're all from the same church. And we all attended Sunset Gospel Hour when we were instructed in the Word of God, and that became our foundation to see through. Imagine grown men and women with high education speaking gibberish out of their mouth, and they are told by their pastors and strangers that this is speaking to God, and they foolishly believe. You see, this wind of doctrine is very potent. And there are millions of them all over the world, believing that this gibberish that comes out of their mouth, no syntax, no grammar, they don't even know what they are saying, but they all believe because they are told that this is talking to God. What kind of God would understand gibberish? Only the God of this world. Not the God of heaven and earth. God of this world. Gibberish. Nonsense. And yet they believe. Hook, line and sinker. They follow. Carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, like the sleight of hand of a magician. And so the Bible borrows a lot of terms, but with a little bit of twist. Wind of doctrine, sleight of men, not sleight of hand. They will manipulate, they will deceive, they will make you think that they are magicians. With a smooth talk, mentioning the name of Jesus Christ here and there, and then Christianizing this activity, Christianizing that activity, and attributing it to the Holy Spirit. In the 1980s and 90s, you remember all these practitioners of charismatism? Holy clucking, holy pogo sticking, holy barking, when they bark in the church like dogs, and they attach the word holy, and therefore everyone, whoo, 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 barking around. And they say, this is worship! And then holy rolling! And then people will roll on the floor in front of everybody in great indecency. Sleight of men. Making merchandise of people. And cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Cunning craftiness. Using all these doctrines in the name of Jesus Christ to deceive. To ambush. Ambush who? The unsuspecting. Who are the unsuspecting? The people who are not mature in the faith, who do not know the word of God, who do not fill themselves with the knowledge of the Son of God in their hearts and in their minds. It is because the purpose of the spiritual gifts are not used, and therefore the believers are not mature, and therefore in the battle they become casualties. And it's all because some people do not want to serve and use their spiritual gifts. It is said that most of the churches that are conservatives have only a very low percentage of people actively serving, actively praying. Majority of the people would rather take a back seat and just simply take and take and take, and with very little giving. God gave us spiritual gifts to fight the spiritual battle, to train up the soldiers for the believers, for the battle that the Lord has for each and every generation. I can't fight the battle of Martin Luther, the 16th century Reformation. I'm not born. I was not born. Just like he cannot fight our battle because he's gone. God raised you and put you here on this earth for a purpose. And therefore, for any one of us not to be actively involved in any area of service and ministry, we are like a soldier on AWOL. You know, AWOL, absent without official leave from the Lord Jesus Christ. We are just simply derelict in our responsibility and duty as a servant of God, as a soldier of Christ. And your life and my life does not help other believers to become more mature, we fail the Lord. And remember, the battle is already here. We're already in the midst of the battle the moment we are born again. The only difference was before salvation, we are not aware of the battle. But after salvation, we are very much aware of the battle. And therefore, if you are not mature, you're going to become a casualty. And therefore, you have to grow. And you have to grow fast. Grow as fast as you possibly could and immerse yourself in the Word of God for as much time as you could devote yourself to it. Because that's how you strengthen the unity that you have. That's how you will not be affected by every wind and doctrine that is blowing across Christianity today. That's how you will not be deceived by the sleight of men and their cunning craftiness, lying in wait to ambush you. They will use emotions, they will use feelings, they will use relationships, they will use money to ambush you. I know of one of our BP directors I mean FEBC directors. When this VPP issue first surfaced, he was very bold in saying, how could anyone be so foolish enough not to believe the Bible is perfect? Well, he believed. Now, how strong was his belief? Sadly, tragically, a few weeks later, he changed completely. Something happened in his personal life. For whatever reason, he changed completely. And so he had to resign from the directorship. And then when I called him up and asked him out for lunch, to try to find out what exactly caused him to change, he said that if you call me up for lunch for this particular matter, no, I'm not going. And that was it. How could a person a few weeks earlier with that kind of conviction and remark and say, how could anyone be so foolish to believe the Bible has mistakes? Would suddenly, a few weeks later, turn 180 degrees. Until today, he still believes the Bible has mistakes. But what happened to the early conviction? How could anyone be so foolish to believe the Bible has mistakes? What happened to that statement? What happened? We are living in a very dangerous world where the devil will use whatever it takes to ambush you. He can use your own children to ambush you. He can use your wife and your husband. He can use your best friend to ambush you. Just as he tried to ambush the Lord Jesus Christ by using Peter. Don't go to the cross, Lord. Get thee behind me, Satan. He can use anyone. Please understand that the devil respects no faces as well. He can use anyone. As long as it works. Just because you are a Christian doesn't mean that you cannot be used by the devil, because we all have our own selfish motives, just like Peter. His selfish desire. Don't go, Lord. Jesus just told them, I have to do the Father's will. I'm here to do the Father's will, and the Father's will is that I have to go to the cross, and I have to die on the cross for your sins. Don't go, Lord. Get thee behind me, Satan, was Jesus' apt and quick reply. They will ambush you using your feelings, your emotions, whatever it takes. And we have seen enough. Don't become part of that list of people who will capitulate, whereby your faith is only good for the moment and not your lifetime. The Lord gave us spiritual gifts to build up the believer for the battle that we are already in. And then the last two verses, 15 and 16. It is for the body of Christ. Do it for the body of Christ's sake as well as for Christ's sake. Because Christ came to save us. To make us all into His body, part of His family. But speaking the truth in love, we may all grow up unto Him, into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. To become more and more like Christ, speak the truth in love, even in the face of all the betrayal, all the slander and all the attacks, you and I must retain and maintain our Christ-like image. And that's why we have to speak the truth in love, no matter how they might try to hate us and destroy us. And love doesn't mean just simply speaking in soft tone. Love means always in truth. And sometimes the tone has to be louder and firmer and even harsh. Just like Jesus Christ, when He drove, I'm sure, the moneylenders out of the precinct of the temple, overturned their tables. You think He did not raise His voice and to make sure that everyone's attention was gripped by what He did when they turned the house of the Lord into a den of thieves? Please do not assume love to be something that is soft in tone. Sure, it may be most of the time soft in tone. It may sound very gentle most of the time. But there will be time when you have to be loud. When you have to raise your voice and you have to remain firm and stick on and hold on to the truth. No matter how your loved one may try to change your mind. And you know, by changing your mind is to disobey the Lord. You cannot change your mind for your son's sake, for your daughter's sake, for your wife's sake, for your husband's sake, for anybody's sake. You have to hold on to the truth even if you have to stand alone and die alone. That's what it means. From whom the whole body, that is Christ, were fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Every part of the body, we all need the Lord Jesus Christ in order for the body of Christ to function healthily. For the body of Christ. Not just simply remain united, but it is a healthy kind of a unity where we can function effectively for the glory of God and for sinners who come to Truth BP Church, they might find salvation in Christ. For believers from other churches, when they come to Truth BP Church, they might find a home where they can grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is what this purpose of the spiritual gift is for the believer, for the battle, and for the body of Christ as a whole, that this will become a vibrant, Christ-centered church. By the which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Edifying of itself. So that when this body takes care of itself, the hand will take care of the feet, the eye will take care of the hand, every part taking care of one another. Do you not want Truth BP Church to be such? Are you prepared to listen to gossips and whisper? You know, this is very potent, the gossip and the whisper. I will never forget what happened in Life BP Church when the people said about Reverend Toh, tired, want to retire in his early 80s, and that's why he resigned from Life BP Church. Only a handful went to the parsonage, which was just behind the sanctuary, to listen to Reverend Toh's side of the story. And then a couple of years after his resignation, True Life was founded. If what they said was true, that he was tired and he wanted to retire from Life Church, then why would he want to start True Life at that age? And we all know how hard it is to start and sustain and maintain a church. Why don't they want to find out? Why don't they want to listen to Reverend Toh's side of the story? And then they make a vote and then they cast all of Reverend Toh's supporters out. Why would people do that? Is the unity so fragile that one gossip can just simply fracture it and crack it and destroy it and the church split? Is it not supposed to be a body that is united and strong, whereby every joint of it is filled with the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we can, what the Bible says, what? Edify itself in love. Edify itself. The hand will build up the leg. The leg will build up this part. This part will build up another, so that every part of the body is united, so that when a gossiper comes, when a slanderer comes, try to sow seeds of discord, we will spit them out. I know this brother, he's not like that. I won't listen to you. I know this deacon. I know this elder. I know this person is like that. I won't believe you. And even if it's true, I'm going to ask this person and find out for the fact. I'm not just simply going to listen to what you say. We are all part of the same body of Christ, all fitly joined together, and now you're trying to dislocate us. Hurt us. Don't let that happen. Don't let that happen. But when you are not all built up in the faith, it will easily happen. I've experienced this also in Calvary Pandan. People will listen to rumor, listen to their friends and their buddies, and then they won't even bother to find out from the leaders. They won't bother to find out from the leaders. And then they just simply take action. Why? Because of relationships. And so, disunity becomes a way of life. And all because some of us do not want to exercise our spiritual gift. And therefore, believers cannot be built up thoroughly, properly, and correctly. And then we are already in the battle. And therefore, there will be many casualties because the body is not fitly joined together, and therefore it cannot edify itself in love. All because some of us do not want to serve. But when we are serving, and all of us are using our spiritual gifts to promote Christ, believers as a whole will be strengthened, built up individually, and then for the battle, and then the body of Christ will also be built up, edifying itself And you will become a church that the Lord will be extremely pleased with. Because every member of Truth BP Church is using his spiritual gift to the glory of Christ. We started by mentioning a world without talent. What kind of world would it be? A world without talent? It would just simply be a world of trees and mountains and bushes and grass throughout the millenniums. One after another. One millennium after another. If there is no one given by God and endowed with a single talent, there will be no music, there will be no buildings, there will be no furniture, there will be nothing. It is also true of the spiritual realm. If God were to save us and leave us behind and he give us no spiritual gift, then we'll all just simply be 1 year old believers, completely useless for the work of the Lord, and definitely cannot edify the body of Christ. But we thank God that God gave us spiritual gift, just as he gave a lot of talents to the people of the world, that they could live in a more comfortable and safer manner from the wind, storm, cold, heat. And so God gave us talents. And God also gave us spiritual gifts for the spiritual world that he has entrusted to us to earnestly contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints. When men, women, and children's souls are at stake, fight for the glory of Christ so that sinners may know him. Fight for the glory of Christ so that brothers and sisters in Christ may be built up and strengthened in the faith, so that we all together may continue to grow according to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And no one in Truth BP Church ought to be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, and by the sleight of man they be deceived. May that not happen to anyone, because every member in Truth BP Church is doing their part. Would you? Let us pray. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee for salvation that we have in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have saved us and left us behind on this earth for a purpose, and that is to build up first our own faith and our own walk with thee, so that this life that we live will be a life of service, so that we will not become casualties. For we know that we are serving in the battlefield and not a playground. Help us, O Lord, to do our utmost with thy enabling, for the body of Christ, fitly joined together, so that we can edify ourselves in love, provoking brothers and sisters in Christ unto love and to more good works. Defend and protect, O Lord, Truth BP Church from the attacks of the evil one, that every member of Truth BP Church who truly knows Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior will recognize what their spiritual gifts are, and to use them faithfully, diligently, to build up the faith of brothers and sisters in Christ, even as they build up their own faith, as they use these spiritual gifts to the praise and glory of thy holy name. Help us, O Lord, to obey thy holy word, for we know that the night will come soon, and we can serve thee no more. May thou renew our love and our zeal and our fervency, that we may all use our spiritual gifts for thy glory. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, we give thanks and pray. Amen.